We have some very familiar texts this morning. They're often familiar, but these seem to be a little bit more so, perhaps. I don't know how many of you, as I did, heard an oratorio take off when you were listening to the Isaiah lesson. There's some good Handel in there, as well as a few others have set that text to music over the various courses of time. And once again, we're talking in Corinthians, where there's trouble and disagreement, and then in Matthew, we have a very familiar story, but which we'll get to in a moment. But what I took from here, or what struck me this time around, because it's not the first time that we've been here on the third Sunday of Epiphany in year A, was the word light. And we see it first in our Isaiah lesson, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And I sort of parked that at the back of my head, and I started thinking about light and the character of light. And light is one of those things that, well, it bothered people for a long time. They couldn't figure out if it was a wave or a particle. Turns out it's both, proving that physicists do know how to compromise. And now they call it a wavicle, which I think is just one of the weirdest things ever. But nonetheless, there you go. And when we think of light, obviously we sometimes think of darkness as well, but the thing that we need to remember, or at least the thing that strikes me when I think of light, is that darkness is the absence of light. Darkness isn't a thing, per se. It's the absence of something else. If you take away all the light, it becomes dark. If there's any light at all, you don't have darkness anymore. You might have dimness, you might have some other things. Murray at Knox was telling me that when he was a younger person, he was in the Black Hills with his brother, and they went to they have caves down there that you can go tour. And part of the tour, and this might set some of you just off, so govern yourselves accordingly if you're a claustrophobe. As part of the tour, they turn the lights off. And Murray said, there has been nothing since that is as dark as that. I've never been in a cave with the lights off. Haven't been avoiding it particularly. It's just something that hasn't happened. He said, it's so dark, you barely know if you're standing or not. And when you think of that, you think that all that's happened is we've taken the light away. And if you put any light in there, if you light a candle, if you turn on a flashlight, the darkness will leave. Now, the light might not go everywhere, and then they turn the lights on and everybody's fine. At least one person this morning at Knox said there's no way on earth they'd go into there. I can think of a few other people I know who wouldn't go into a cave to begin with, let alone one where they might turn the lights off. But when light comes in, it casts out darkness. Where there is light, there can't be darkness. You can't have both of them at the same time. It's a powerful metaphor. It's a powerful message. It's a powerful symbol of change. And when we look into our Corinthians lesson, we have Paul talking about dissension and how we shouldn't have any. He talks about what it is that we should do. For Christ did not send me, that's Paul, to baptize, but to preach the gospel. The gospel is light. Because the gospel, what Paul is talking about, this presentation of what it means to move into a relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, brings light into us, into our souls, into our minds, whatever language you want to use. But it brings that light in. And then when we look at our Matthew passage, one of the most familiar, I suspect, for many of us who grew up in the church, we have Jesus calling his first disciples. And he goes to them and he says, Simon and Andrew, come follow me and I will make you fishers of people. Now, for those of us who grew up in the church, we know exactly what that means. But if you can, cast your mind back to the first time you encountered this, probably in Sunday school. And what did you think? The first thing I thought of, I'm sure, and I don't have clear memories of this, was somebody standing on a street corner with a stick and a string and a hook catching people. And if I'd been listening carefully, maybe I would have thought, oh no, they don't use a hook to catch people. They use a net to catch people. And so you're out there throwing a net over top of people. And we think that's kind of silly because we know it from the other side. What do you think the fishers thought? What do you think Peter and Andrew, and then later on James and John. What do you think they thought when Jesus said, come, ditch your dad, ditch your employees, ditch all these other things, ditch your life as a fisher, and follow me because I'm going to make you fishers of people. That's just weird. And you think about it, what could that possibly do? Did they think, what, I'm going to become a slaver? No, of course not. There's something going on there. The Holy Spirit is at work. There was something about Jesus that made this make sense to them, that they were going to go out and fish for people. And when we continue on in that passage that was read for us, there is a bit of a break in the chronology between verse 22 and 23. But in 23, where our reading ended, which I think the compilers of the lectionary were very wise, Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news, another word for gospel that Paul talked about, of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness among the people. This is light. We pull the two of them together and we say that the gospel is light brought into darkness. And Jesus demonstrated that by going through preaching and healing. Now, that was Jesus' particular call. Ours is a little bit different. But we too are called to fish for people. Not by grabbing them with a hook, not by throwing a net over them, but by demonstrating to them that in us, the light has come. One of the things about light is that we can still have shadows. And when I was younger, I used to enjoy the shadows when I sat in church because it was an enormous church filled with people, with multiple lights. And so you got these weird multiple shadows. And so I'd try and figure out which light was causing this, because you'd get these 3 or 4 part shadows because of the light coming from different directions. And you can tell I wasn't paying attention. But back then, sermons frequently lasted the length of our entire service today. Praise be to change is all I can say. I'm grateful we don't live there anymore for all kinds of reasons. But even with light, we can still have shadows. But when we move the light, the shadow disappears. And one of the things that we get when we move into this relationship with God, when we invite the light in, to continue in this analogy, to continue in this metaphor, one of the things that happens is that we then get to see what we couldn't see before. And sometimes there are things in us that we see that are shadows, that are areas where it's less light, where there is darkness. Sometimes we didn't know they were there at all until we encountered Jesus. There were things that I did before I moved into a meaningful faith with God that I didn't even know I shouldn't do. And even now, every once in a while, when I'm doing some internal work, I'll see things about myself that I realize I need to stop doing. And the only way I'd see them is if they are illuminated. And we're continuing with the metaphor of light. And as the light moves around within me, every once in a while, I see something that's creating a shadow. And often these are things that are not in and of themselves evil. There are things that I need to stop doing because they create a shadow within me. And we are called, in other places in Scripture, we are called to be light to other people. And what's the best way to be light is to make sure you don't have any shadows. We can obscure the light that's within us. And now we're starting to stretch the analogy all out of shape, but stay with me. I think we've still got something there. When we are light ourselves, when the light comes out of us, it's like a flashlight. And a flashlight illuminates everything that you point it at, unless you put your hand in front of it, which maybe you're doing. Or maybe there's something on the lens that makes it not quite as bright for part of it. That can be us also. We are called to be light. We are called to let that light shine in our community and among the people that we find ourselves. And sometimes we may discover, even now after this, however long we've been in this relationship, that there are things that are obscuring some of that light. If there are, the Holy Spirit will reveal that to you, and then you can deal with them, whatever that looks like. Whether it's something as trivial as, avoiding a particular website, whether it's something as important as confessing a sin, whatever it might be. Those things that get in the way of our light also get in the way of us being the best we can be. Those things that we let in to create shadows within us are the same things that prevent us from being everything we were created to be. And I'm not saying that we will necessarily achieve perfection here on earth, no matter what Brother Wesley says. The thing is, we work towards that. It's a, what do they call them now? It's one of those aspirational goals. We work towards that, and one of the ways we work towards that is by realizing that with the Holy Spirit, we have light within us that often shows us the things that we're doing well and occasionally shows us those things we need to work on or things that we need to fix or occasionally even things we need to change. And we need to change them, not just so they're gone, but also so that when we're out there fishing for people by living our lives and being who we are to such an extent that we have a connection with people where it is possible for us to talk about where this light comes from. When we get rid of those areas of darkness, we become more effective in this fishing for people at the same time as we become more ourselves. It's a wonderful win-win. Taking the time to do a little bit of internal investigation to see if there are any shadows. And I don't know if there are any in you. I don't have any deep prophetic word for anyone here or anything like it. But I know that at least now and then for me, when I spend some time reflecting on who I am and where I am at the moment, I see areas that I can grow in. I can see areas that I can change. And I do so because I want to be part of preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness. In my case, I don't heal diseases and sickness that way. I come alongside people sometimes and help them become more the people they were created to be. And all of us can do that with a listening ear, with those words of prayer, with those opportunities to be the best person we can be. God created each of us to be light where we are. And we are light where we are. I want to get that perfectly clear. We are light already. But maybe we can be a little bit brighter. Maybe there's an area of shadow somewhere that we need to deal with, and maybe there isn't. But whatever there is, let's take comfort in the fact that when we are called to proclaim the gospel, we are bringing light into darkness. We're helping people see. We're making it harder for them to stumble over the furniture in a darkened house, whatever it might be. And we're called to do this because we are called to be like Jesus. The more we do this, the more we become like Jesus. The more we become like Jesus, the less darkness we have. So this day, let us set our minds to pursuing the light and being open to the light of the Holy Spirit to help us to see where we might need to do a little bit of work. Amen.